This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, with mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Hello, my love, I heard a kiss from you.
Hello, my love, my loves. Shoot, Chris. You've tuned in down the bottom of the dial to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your esteemed hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer, my other love over there in his remote location. How are you, Chris?
Doing well, my love. And you know, an automotive talk show like this, one would have to search far and wide to find some show with the caliber of the like of ours. And no one is willing to go through the trouble, if you ask me personally.
Well,
but yes,
you'd also find a strawberry letter, and you wouldn't find many people playing it on the radio either, I don't think so.
No, not anymore. Maybe in the old days, but
yeah.
Today, yes, the Brothers Johnson, you're not going to really find on the radio anymore unless you listen to an oldie station.
Correct.
That is right.
Which is kind of what we are.
Right. Encompassed in this show. But yeah, we have a banner show going on today, don't we?
Yes.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
We're scheduled to have a guest on. You know, in the past, we've always dabbled with and talked to manufacturers and suppliers and distributors of tools and chemicals, whatever. So MightyVac, the good people that make the, you know, the vacuum tools and brake bleeding tools and and so much more. We had a fellow from the company on years ago who I reached out to and has since left the company. But now his replacement, Mr. Jeff Craig, has agreed to come on with us today. So we should have him in a little while. Keep your eye out for him on our computer meeting where you could let him in.
And I will watch. I'll be diligent in my observations of Jeff when he decides to knock on our door. Yes.
Should be about the quarter hour. But before that, let me just make a quick mention. I want to connect the circle on something. But before then, you can call us at 516-572-7440 or follow us, you know, motormouthradio.com. We're also on Facebook, same name, Twitter, same name, Motormouth Radio, and real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram. You can see what we get involved with during the week. So what I got involved with during the week is at Grand National, and we had a problem, as I spoke last time, about the brakes being very poor. Remember that? And I didn't know what
to do.
So as I went home and digested and thought about it, I said, you know, I think what I got to do is maybe remove. Well, I actually said, wow, the old master cylinder reservoir and body is in the shop. If I could just take the reservoir off and just bolt it onto, you know, just replace the one that's on the car. Now, I'll know if I have a bad master, because I thought, hey, it's new. Never, ever worked. You know, so I whenever I work on anything, that just kind of, it always echoes in my head. I hear Joe, and I hear him now.
Guys, we all know what new spells
never, ever work.
That's right.
He is right. And I said, geez, that could be the problem, because it felt, you touch the brakes. We went from, obviously, just as a recap, from the electric motor, they call it something. In Buick E's, it's an electric boost, kind of like a hydro boost is now, that sits below the master that electrically boosts the brake pressure instead of using a vacuum booster. Okay. So that thing died. And when they die, they're unobtainium. You can't replace them. So most people, what they do is, if they don't want to pony up huge, huge amounts of money, they'll buy a conventional booster and master, install it, and then they will be, you know, back in shape. Mm-hmm. That's what we did. The problem was you touch the brake pedal and you'd feel some resistance. Then it would kind of dive down. And then it was way at the bottom, which isn't uncommon for a GM. And the car would kind of stop. So we had gone through a few different things. Well, I found out I couldn't change that proportion. I couldn't put that master on because it's part of the master in a way where you couldn't change it.
Right.
So what I'll do is I'll postpone that story for a little while because we have our guest with us. I see Jeff is with us. Howdy, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Excellent.
Hey,
Jeff. Good to have you with us today.
Yes, very good. Jeff Craig from Mighty Vac is here with us in Motor Mouth Radio. Jeff, I'm glad you were able to stop by and join our Zoom meeting.
Well, let me ask, do you say you're Jeff Craig from Mighty Vac or from SKF USA or SKF?
I've been called a lot worse things. So, yeah. Jeff from SKF.
Okay, good.
Excellent. Jeff, I want to call you a newsman because you have the greatest news name.
Yeah. Right.
Well, there was Jeff Craig 60 Second. What was it? Years ago, there was a guy that did movie reviews, and it was Jeff Craig 60 Second movie reviews.
I think you're that's true.
Okay. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
Oh boy, yeah.
Okay, no, don't worry. That's fine. We totally understand.
Yeah, we do the same thing. It is warm out there.
Newsman. It's pretty cool. We do have some news to share about Mighty Vac.
Oh, please tell us. You transitioning. I like that. Nice segue.
All right. Well,
here's Jeff with the segue. Yes.
A little bit later this year, actually beginning of 2022, we are coming out with a new evacuator dispenser, which is pneumatically powered.
Wow.
So the old MV7201, which I own a couple, they're wonderful for evacuating coolant when you have to, when you got to do a water pump, things like that. Well, you got a pump. And if you have a large vehicle or a weak arm, it can get a little tiring. So with the pneumatic option, it's one unit, one handle, and it's just a matter of manipulating a couple of a valve and a throttle, and you can evacuate it. When you're done, you just flip a valve, and you can push it right back in. But it opens things up for all kinds of other applications. Replaceable bottles, so you can have one for used fluid, one for new fluid. Brake exchanges, fluid exchanges.
Right.
So, Jeff, if you were doing like a coolant exchange on a car like I was doing literally a couple of weeks ago, and in the instructions, they basically were saying to reflush the engine with water, and I'm looking at the bottle of coolant, and it says waterless coolant, and I'm thinking to myself, well, this is kind of a little bit of a problem here. I could use a Mighty Vac to evacuate the coolant from the system completely?
Yes. That's well, I mean, you'll get as much as you can out of there. You'll never get 100% out. But I know some of those waterless coolants, they actually have a flush you can use with them, too. But I think you were doing that on a Mazda, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was doing it on the Mazda. Very good. I'm glad you listened. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, I had to do my homework.
And you still came on, so that's pretty good.
Oh, no. Your car, guys. I'm loving the background of that big green Fury.
It's a 300. It's a Chrysler.
It's a 300. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. I actually had a background of my old Cadillac, but mm-hmm. Ray was a little disturbed because behind it was a bay window to a house, and Ray kept seeing like objects in the bay window.
I saw a person in the window. I really did.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Was it the neighbor mooning you?
Yes.
Well, you know, there's just a history here. When you go to Chris's old house, you know, I've actually been attacked by an apparition in his house. So, yeah, he's got a sketchy past.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was the cat.
No, I have cats, and I know what that's like. I actually got my finger sliced under a table by a ghost in Brooklyn.
So you can now see basically the what encompasses this show about car guys and car comments and discussions. It's all about haunted houses and cats, and we get into food and we run the gambit. It
sounds like a blast.
I guess Mark Allen really didn't clue you in all that well then, because otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Oh.
Yeah, he was going to tell you it's a very well produced show.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mark is a fantastic guy and a wonderful engineer. And he made no comments one way or the other. He said he had a lot of fun. So
okay, good. That's the one takeaway we've usually had from most of our guests. They do have fun on the show, because
no information, but a lot of fun.
This is how we do it. We do it light and easy. And listen, if people want to call and talk to Jeff and ask him a question about the Mighty Vac products, 516-572-7440, we'll get you there. And I use the stuff in the shop. One of the things I do more than anything is bleed brakes. In fact, I'm known as there's the brake bleeding guy. And I got to tell you, I've amassed an arsenal over the years of different toolage, most of it from your company. And I found that not always does one thing work. Sometimes I use, one, two, or three different products to get a really good bleed. And that drives me nuts. It really does. But I recognize it. And then say sometimes you always end up back to the old pump and dump. Get a guy in the car, push the pedal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in some cases, that's the only way you can do it. I was working on a C2 Corvette at a job I had beforehand, and I was using a vacuum bleeder on it because I owned this stuff before I ever started working for SKF.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I kept getting air, and it was making me crazy until I realized that the seals on those old calipers were like the seals on the they're like the old Dunlop calipers on the Jags, but it's like a wheel cylinder, so there's a lip on there rather than a square cut seal. And I was sucking that lip in getting fluid that way. So the only way you could do it was pressure from the top.
Yeah.
And, no, you'll be happy to know I am working on some updated caps.
Okay.
And some updated application information. So, we can try to cover some more of the market. It's something that I was in tech service before I came over to MightyVac. So I was on the answer line answering calls for folks, trying to help them fix everything from grease pumps to MightyVac stuff. And that was one thing, is we got a lot of questions about, well, what fits my car? And unfortunately, I'll be the first to admit that they didn't always have the best application information.
Okay.
So trying to update that.
Right. That's a system that I currently don't use, but I think I may want to go into it. But what I have done, instead of pushing from the master down, because they say let me see. Yeah, that's okay. I've actually, on the older cars, I use a reverse pressure. Pushing in from the caliper up,
like the Phoenix,
and that's always that works pretty well.
Yeah, just make sure you leave the cap on when you do that. I was doing one on an old Lincoln. And I'm like, this is going pretty good, until somebody yells at me and there's a geyser coming out of the master cylinder.
It's the cap when you found it across the room.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't one of my finer moments, but hey, they always told me, that good friend once told me that don't let anybody tell you good for nothing. You make a great bad example.
Right. What not to do.
Just like when equipment goes bad, the headphones I was wearing just died. I heard nothing. I couldn't cue anything. I had to switch to another set, and now we're back on.
Okay. It just happened?
Yeah, just live, yeah. Live radio, folks.
Behind the wheel.
Yeah, live radio. We always say, if you produce anything, don't count on it working, because you don't know. Yeah, you had something, right? Anyway.
That's for sure. So how did you end up, Jeff, in MightyVac?
I was actually... when a dealership I was working at, I was a service manager, and the owner at the time was selling the store. And, of course, the new owner wanted to bring his people in, so I found myself unemployed and ended up working at a classic car, exotic car dealership. And if you're a technician, you want to talk about a dream job. I had it for 5 years.
I was just going to be how I was just going to say how envious I was of you at that point.
My boss, Scott Brand at Moto Exotica, he's a mensch. I mean, fine human being. We still talk. I still help him occasionally when he calls me up when he's got questions about stuff. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, when I was looking for a job, I had dropped a resume in a number of places, and all of a sudden the headhunter called me because SKF was looking for somebody for technical service. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'll try that. Got into tech service and learned all about the other SKF product lines and Alamite, so grease guns and then lubrication systems on tractors and, you know, earth moving equipment to production line stuff. And so did application engineering there. I helped the guys at Black & Decker that one of the grinders they build in Indianapolis, they put 1.5 ounces of grease in the head of the grinder, and I helped the guy design the system. So when it comes down the line, the production worker grabs it, stomps on a pedal, and it shoots 1.5 ounces of grease in there, and it goes on.
Nice.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was so interesting. I mean, you got to work on anything and everything, helping everybody. Wow. And with the pumps and the wiring and because they're on Caterpillars and John Deere and things like that. So when you've got somebody that's trying to cut beans and their John Deere combine, the lube system's not working. You know, if they don't keep those things lubed, you'll set it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some of the bearings in the blowers and that run at pretty high speed. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then finally, you know, a position open where they were looking for somebody to work on my vac. I wasn't really sure if I had the right qualifications, but I was enthusiastic. So I don't know. Maybe they had a moment of weakness and took pity on me or.
Well, I tell you what, let's take pity. We have a caller. Let's go to the line. Let's see what we have on our line. Say, hi, caller. You're on with the Motor Mouths, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Mr. Jeff Craig from Mighty Vac.
Hey, Motor Mouth. Good morning. It's Tom from Massapequa.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I'd like to say Jeff is pretty impressive with his technical knowledge and his research on the show. Thanks so far. I had a couple of questions, Matt. Is he able to hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fire away.
Oh, cool, cool. Would it be safe to say one's humorous and one's legit? Would it be safe to say that Mighty Vac sucks?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure Jeff never heard that before.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know,
sometimes it blows too.
Exactly.
You guys are good. All right, here's my serious question. Jeff seems to have done a lot of research on the show, and I'm wondering if the research he did was just for the thing or if he's really a true listener. So my question to Jeff, it's evident he did research, but Jeff, are you aware, do you happen to know how many polyps Ray had in his last colonoscopy?
You know, my research didn't go that deep.
Yeah. We've only known this man for a week, Tom.
He only went arm's length. He only went elbow deep.
No, seriously, guys. Hey, listen, Jeff, your technical knowledge, I like hearing that technical stuff, so thank you. And thank you for calling into the show. Have a great... Guys.
Oh, I'm hoping they're going to have me back. Are you kidding? I'm a radio geek from years back. I used to get in trouble, be in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning listening to the WLS in Chicago.
Ooh.
Or one of those clear channel stations in the middle of the night.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, we all had the headphones on.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Don Kirsch's rock concert.
Yeah.
Midnight Special. There was a couple of them that were out. Yeah, I used to watch all of those.
Tom, thanks so much for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tom. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. Always enlightening when we get Tom from Massapequa. 516-572-7440. If you have a question to ask Jeff Craig from Mighty Vac, that's funny. But yeah, WLS in Chicago. Wow. I think the Grease Man was on WLS, Ray.
Doug Tracked. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm just a little off of my Chicago radio history.
This was 40-some-odd years ago with my little Heathkit AM radio.
Yeah.
Heck yes. I was a big radio fan, so totally understand.
Yeah, we all grew up with it, that's for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Still am a big radio fan. I just wish it would all come back, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know.
Radio's, they're way too buttoned up. It's not as relaxed as this show, that's for sure.
Yeah. the FCC and everything else. I know they've changed a lot of rules and things, but yeah, you could still have fun.
Right.
516-572-7440. So you were talking about a hydraulic. What was that? Did you mention a new product?
I'm working on master cylinder cap adapters. So, doing a pressure bleed from the top down.
Right.
We have some adapters that fit actually quite a few vehicles, but there's several that are not covered. So you have to use a universal and you run a chain underneath it and secure that and then tighten a piece to make the connection so you can pressure bleed from the top down. But, I don't know about you, but sometimes the universal fit stuff isn't.
And, it fits
nothing. yeah. And there's, you don't want to be that guy that, this will work fine. And you power it up and it wants to eject fluid places it shouldn't be. So
that tool, that's the MV7840, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I highlighted. That looks like a great tool. Great tool. Yeah, I just happened to have with me.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm looking on your website now, Jeff, and very comprehensive website. Well done. I like that everything is well laid out. The buttons are nice and simple, and they react very well. It's
putting
all
some. We're also coming up with some frequently asked questions to maybe help folks out, maybe save them a phone call into tech service.
Oh, good.
That's always helpful. But
very cool. Yeah.
Here in the studio, things happen. You never know. Like I said, I do a lot of brake bleeding, and you never know when you have to do it here. So I always have one of these with me.
Yeah. Also, Jeff, you got to realize Ray has not realized yet. We've been doing this show over almost 20 years.
20 years.
Ray has not realized that radio is not a visual medium. He brings stuff in.
Except now we do have a component of it, so...
Ray,
what are you holding? A bowling ball? Can you describe what the thing is, sir?
This is a MightyVac MV6830 vacuum pressure bleeder that I go to all the time.
It looks like a big jar of peanut butter.
Which will also do fluid extraction, which is great to have. And, I was hoping that was going to be my end-all tool as far as brake bleeding is concerned, but it's not. Sometimes that doesn't always do what I need it to do, and I have to go for other things. So you know what? I know who we have on the line now. We're going to go to the phone. Let's go to the phone to the phone and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Gentlemen.
Bob.
Robert.
Chris Ray and Mr. Jeff Daniels.
No, Jeff Daniels, right. All right.
How are you guys?
Good, Bob. What's happening?
All right. So I don't know if your guest knows or not, but if you hear that program, Wheel of Fortune, well, when Tom calls, it's the phone call of fortune.
Right.
which permits us to go to the garage and take out tall boys and get started.
Right.
So you're a true car guy.
Yeah, no Foster's 40-ouncer, huh?
Listen, if you listen to the program, these are the one things that God has blessed us with to go to the garage.
Yeah, you need it. So
a working refrigerator
and get started.
Right. So what's happening, Bob? You have any brake issues or bleeding questions you want to run by Jeff?
But you know what I'm concerned about these days for these guys?
What's that?
I'm concerned that the industry is going to be changing drastically. And I understand, they'll still be making combustion engines, just say for argument's sake, 10 years. But majority of them in 4 or 5 are going to be battery operated. And what does that do to your guests and the entire industry? Look at all the support. Look at all the petrol support. Look at all the fitting supports.
Well, true. If the brake systems go to an electric version somewhere, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, there is some of that, but they still have a service brake. They still use a hydraulic service brake as a backup.
Okay.
I did not know. Okay.
Which they you know, like Tesla, and they use a regeneration where they you know, they actually, when you drop throttle on there, that they reverse polarity on the motor and throw charge back into the system.
Right, right.
Which will slow you down quite a bit. But, you know, when it comes to that emergency stop, they still have a service brake on there.
Right.
And well, the other thing is, those batteries, you know, when you charge them and when you discharge them, they get hot.
Yeah.
So they got to cool them, too. And okay. Yeah. And if they, you know, the one thing about those batteries is if they get hot and, you know, if the worst happens and one of them catches on fire, it's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You pretty much stand back and wait for the smoking crater to appear because it's pretty tough to put out from what I've been told.
Yeah. You know, you think like a lithium ion battery in the mail that went up is a big deal. Yeah. You should see a full-size car, Tesla battery go up. Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. It's something we're working on too. Trying to get into the Tesla dealership locally to talk to those guys and see what I can find out and move forward. So
that's interesting.
Then, I only wish you well on your endeavors with the with your company. Obviously, your product. It goes without saying.
Yeah.
I wish you guys well and have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Bob. Talk to you
soon.
Thanks,
Bob.
Always a pleasure, my brother.
All right.
516-572-7440. Talk to Jeff Craig, who is now Jeff Daniels. Yeah. Or Jack Daniels. So, news reporter Jeff Craig for MightyVac.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. We, you know, the tool that I use, like I showed you, is great. It does hold a lot of fluid, but when you have to empty it, you have to unscrew the thing. And of course, you have brake fluid on your hands. It's a pain in the neck. We have a good friend who's a Matco tool dealer. Matco sells one like that. I don't have one, but it has a drain port on it. So you can just open the drain port and pour the fluid out, which I thought was a great idea. And I asked him if it was made by MightyVac. He wasn't sure. He didn't know. Would you happen to know if that's one of your products or not? Because
I believe it is.
That's great.
Because
like I said,
we work with we work with Matco and Snap-on.
Mm-hmm.
I have Bob Savage, my Matco tool guy. Okay. So yes,
all right.
And no, but the that, you know, once again, that new one I was talking about that we're going to be introducing shortly. You'll just flip a knob or you'll flip a valve and open the throttle and be able to push that fluid right out. Wow. But I have actually was using the 6830 a little bit earlier. The clutch fluid on one of my cars gets really dark after every couple of months, and there's really no way to bleed it because to get to the bleeder, you pretty much have to take the drive line out. So
is it a Triumph? By any chance?
No, it isn't.
Because I know they're like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. For sure.
So let me ask you this. The new tool, the 7840, which really has my eye, that reminds me of the old, what we used to call the droid systems that we had in the shops. That little R2-D2 ball that you'd run around, that you'd chain the cap onto the master cylinder and induce the fluid from the top and go down. So that, as opposed to pulling it at the wheel, what's your research shown for effectiveness in either method or, you know, or one being more, more complete than the other?
When GM, Ford, Chrysler, all, you know, any of the manufacturers, when they fill a brake fluid system, they do it from the top down. They pressure bleed it from the top down. That's what I understand. And, so you get everything that way. That there's some systems that won't allow you to do that. Some of the Bosch ABS systems won't allow you to do that unless you have a lot higher pressure.
I have to say that, like I said, the large, vast amount of brake bleeding I do, That's when you really start seeing the recurring things that kind of will trip you up. And I've seen it quite a lot where, like I said, one method really doesn't work as on that car it did. But I think this new way is going to – it's not a new way. It's kind of an old thing revisited.
Yeah. This one just gives you the option to do them both ways. But no, there's a lot of vehicles that the vacuum system works great. And really, the vacuum system, when you've got a full system – and you're just doing an exchange, or you've just had a caliper off to replace it or rebuild it, then that, you know, that vacuum system works really well. But if you've got a dry system, like you've just put a vehicle together or something like that, then the from the top down works pretty well.
Yeah, I'll
tell you, the vacuum system could be maddening.
Just last year, I was in that position. We had restored a Chevelle at the shop, and everything was brand new, dry system. And I said, wow, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? So I actually took the master off, and I bench bled the master. I said, let me do that first. And then I just went to the right rear wheels, a non-ABS car, and I injection bled. Well, not bleed. I forced the fluid up from each wheel. And I really went around that car, I think, maybe twice just for good luck's sake, and it was fine. Right, and I was like, oh, thank God. I thought, wow, it's a dry system. The calipers, the wheel cylinders in the back, the lines, there's no fluid anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I got very lucky with that. It worked fine. But, you know, I knew if it was my car, it wouldn't have worked that way. But
well, you know, one thing that when you do, you know, when you're doing stuff like that is I've always wondered what happens to that little combination valve. Are you going to upset that thing? Because one side of it's dry.
Exactly.
And one side of it's wet. And that's not something I have had occur. But usually it was because it was an older system on an older car that, you know, might have had some corrosion. And you know, that's one thing that the American cars, the American guys, it just seems like as compared to the Brits. American guys, they run the car till it breaks. Where the Brits is well, this weekend I have to take the head off and decoke.
Right. run it till it rains, and then we'll work on it.
Yeah. Well, in Britain, that doesn't take too long.
No.
But, I've had a number of old MGs, the guy gave me a Triumph that I traded for an MG transmission, but it was chemically lightened, shall we say.
Yeah.
Chemically lightened.
I will tell you, I have one of the hardest cars in the world to bleed the brakes on, as well as the cooling system, because as soon as you open it, you get an airlock, and that's an older Fiat Spider. And that car, the brake lines, for some reason, they snake them like these S-bends under the – I was going to rip it all out and redo it. It's just such a hard car to bleed the brakes on. You never really get the results that you expect, even with new components. So that's when it's always driven. So when it's working, I leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a big proponent – I'm sorry, what was that?
I was going to say, was that a disc and drum or disc and disc system?
Four-wheel disc.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's they use those – ATE calipers with
those wedges, those stupid wedge slides. I want to find one of my projects is to get a new Fiat Spider, one of the new ones, or a new 500 maybe, and get the front brakes off it and see if I can adapt them to my older car. Yeah, and then still use factory components I can get parts for if I need.
I think they're just similar in name only, if you ask me personally.
I don't know.
I was going to say the new Spider is more closely related to a Miata.
No.
Right.
That's why I said the 500, the Fiat 500.
Yeah, the 500. I don't. I have not put a hand on one of those, so I
haven't
couldn't tell you. But I was going to say, you haven't had the displeasure of working on a Alfa Milano or an Alfetta GT or something that.
No.
Trying to get those rear calipers because it's an inboard disc.
Okay.
And it's kind of like an E-Type. Yeah, that can be real. That could be a lot of fun to try to get in there to bleed them.
Yeah, they've been in the shop, but on the body side, not on my side. Mm. So I tell you what side it is. It is the bottom of the hour. Chris, do we have a bottom of the hour motor mouth radio thing?
The thing, yes, that you can
thing.
Never remember the name of.
Right, your thing.
Yes, we have something at the bottom of the hour every week here at Motormouth Radio called the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. A bunch of people we like to celebrate every once in a while, as obscure as that may sound. We do. And this week, if you built your car, if you've improved your car, maintained your car, and even had others maintain your car, but still don't trust your car. Yeah. That's right. If you dread taking it on long trips because you're afraid of not making it back, are you afraid of putting more than one person in the vehicle in fear of both of you not making it back? Or are you even afraid of putting it on a highway for the fear of not making it back? Well, if you are competent in your craftsmanship but are not confident in your craft, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Nice. So, Jeff, if you can sit with us for about 2 minutes, we got a couple of spots to play so we can take care of some business here. And we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray, Chris, and Mr. Jeff Craig from the SKF Corporation, Mighty Vac, as you all know it, as we know it. Mm-hmm. And we will be back with more. Keep it where you have it on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth! You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
Now hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming.
I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
I'll call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth!
Got a car question? Give the Motor Mouth a call at 516-572-7440.
All right, and we are back, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and our guest, Mr. Jeff Craig from the SKF Mighty Vac Corporation. And we have another call on the line. So let's punch these buttons and say, hi, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, who are we speaking with?
That's John.
Hey, John, you're very muffled today.
John, yeah, try bringing the phone close to your mouth.
Yeah.
I think I need a different phone.
Yeah. Give us a call back, John.
All right.
Okay. All righty. That's John from Florida. He'll try another number, and we'll see how that works
out. Yes, see if John can come out of the water.
Right.
Stop playing with the manatees, John.
Right. Flopping around with those funny little fellows out there, right.
516-572-7440. Jeff, how easy is it to adapt? Like, let's say you come up with an idea, a concept on an existing product. How easy is it to take that existing idea or improvement and adapt it to the product? What is the time frame of something like that, from concept to execution?
I've just started over. This is what, my second, third week, I'm still kind of in the middle of trying to figure it all out at this point.
Oh well, how would you like to go from?
Your
goal?
My goal would be to go from zero to hero in a month. But
right,
yeah, but that's. Sometimes it doesn't quite work that way.
We're going to try our hero from Florida again. Let's pick up again and say, hi, Cole, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, hello. Better?
John!
Yes, John, that is better.
Hi!
Yeah, I keep dropping my iPhone, and it seems to be deteriorating rapidly because of the impact.
That'll happen, right?
Right. It's the speed in which it stops is the problem.
Minor gravity storm.
Exactly. Yes. So, anyway, my question is, through the years, and I'm sure in the future, I'll be dealing with this problem where I've built these custom cars and race cars, and we have a tendency to put the master cylinder in the floor in front of the seat. Nine times out of ten, it's that typical Mopar master cylinder with the plastic reservoir on top with the two caps.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we've had some trouble through the years, you know, bleeding these systems because you're literally pushing everything uphill.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to run two small pressure pieces that, in other words, that hold about a pound and a half or 2 pounds of pressure in the line.
Residual pressure valve. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you don't. Yeah. So you don't drain the valves. So you don't drain the lines back and have a real long break.
Yeah.
That's always. That always feels good at the end of a long straight.
What you would recommend to maybe speed up the process? Would you try to pressure it up?
Oh, absolutely.
From the master or vacuum it out from the calipers?
It's so trying to apply a vacuum to a system like that, you'd have to take the a bleeder screw out and then very carefully wrap some Teflon tape because air's like a teenager, it's going to take the easiest route it can.
Right.
So you want to seal it up good if you're going to try to vacuum it, but that's definitely one I would pressure bleed. The MV-801 is MVA-801 happens to be the, 801, 802 are the two little caps that we manufacture that fit on those type of masters. And one of them's a pressure other one's just a cap to seal it because sometimes you can communicate pressure between the two chambers. And, you don't want to get a surprise. But, trying to vacuum when you have that residual pressure valve in there is going to be tough because you got to suck pretty hard to, even open that, that 1.5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
traditionally, the only way we've been able to do it for years is bench bleed and then bolt the master cylinder in. And basically somebody's on there.
It's leg day.
Pumping the brake pedal until the stuff starts coming out of the calipers. And we use large calipers in drag racing. They're all 4-piston units.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of swept area, and there's a lot of physical volume to fill behind these things.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's the way to go.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a lot easier than that's going to be a lot easier. It's that or, pre-fill the lines and then, connect it, right at your pressure, your residual pressure valve. But, that's never in an easy spot to get to.
No.
No, it's tough. It's a tough job. All right. Well, thanks for that info.
All right, John. Now go put a bleed on your phone. See if you can get that thing working again.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right. Talk to you soon, Johnny. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, John.
That's Jesse John from Florida, a good friend of ours.
516-572-7440 is the phone number. Yeah.
You know, Jeff, there's a tool in this blurb that I saw that I could have used just a couple months ago because I bought a used Toyota vehicle, and now I service my daughter's Toyota vehicle, and mine doesn't have a dipstick, but it has this fill valve, a 24-millimeter fill valve. You have to inject the fluid. And now you guys have the MVA-6851 and the MVA-6852, which are pressure fluid injectors. Or you could use it like a hypoid gun and suck fluid out of a transmission or a rear end also. And man, could I use that. I was cobbling that stuff together. Oh. I actually use my hypoid gun, my rear end, my hypoid gun. I use that. I put the tranny fluid. Now, of course, when you put a gear oil in there, it's thicker. When you have transmission fluid in it, you got to make sure that hose is pointing up all the way because it.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, what a pain in the neck. But this is great. That's another great tool that really, with the sealed transmissions, really is going to help combat a lot of problems that the guys in the trenches have.
So, Jeff, are these products, are these vacuum products, are they able to be cleaned? Because Ray mentioned gear oil. Gear oil is
you're going to want to, you're going to have something to cut that a little bit. But, you know, for brake fluid and most of your lighter fluids, you can use warm water and a dishwashing soap. I happen to be quite partial to Dawn.
Okay.
But for gear oil, you're probably going to want to use something like a mineral spirits. Nothing, no really aggressive aromatic hydrocarbons or aromatic solvents, because you don't want to soften up that bottle.
Right.
And, I'll show you something. The outside of this bottle is pretty much, well,
it's the bottle of mayonnaise you're holding.
It's dirty, it? You know, mm-hmm. But the inside is pretty clean, because at the end of every use,
just like you, sir.
Yeah. I flush you all out with brake clean. And, flush it out, wipe it out, and away we mm-hmm. go. And I do that with all of my, I do that with my hand pumps. Of course, I do it to the reservoir cup as well as the hoses. I have a turkey baster that I keep in my supply that I mm-hmm. suck the fluid out of master cylinders with. Don't tell my wife, please, because I got in trouble last time. But
We also don't tell her to use a dishwasher to clean that stuff, too. We don't tell her that either. She doesn't listen.
But, yeah, like Jeff said, I know.
Don't ever, ever, ever let them catch you heating and casting up in the oven so you can put a bearing in.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was 16 years old working on something, and my mom came home and, what's cooking?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Very flambe, yeah. Yeah. Not just
you got chased around the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, because cleanup is really easy, especially with brake fluid, because it's, a little bit of brake clean, it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't get into the mechanism at all. I mean, the fluid
no,
is not.
No, there's a little valve on there that shuts off once it gets full. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get in there. However, sometimes some enthusiastic users, especially with the 7400, the big evacuators, the hand pump, and the 7201, when you get done and you want to empty the thing, then you pull the plug on it and you upend it and walk away. Well, that little float does a great job of floating up, yeah. And it can allow fluid to get in there. Right, ask me how I know.
We're gonna
then the next time you start to use it, then it starts shooting coolant out. So there's, when you go to empty some of those, make sure that you don't ever get the bottom end of it more than, horizontal if it has a lot of fluid in there.
All right, we're gonna have another caller come in, Jeff. We're going to say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, good afternoon. Another call here from Florida. How am I coming in?
Oh, you sound much better than John did. I guess you haven't dropped your phone recently, Skip, huh?
No, this is a landline. I'm old school.
Ah, good. We love landlines. Perfect.
Hey, Skip.
So anyway, just to speak to the C2 Corvette issue, which I'm well familiar with, C3 Corvettes, I find that when the calipers have been upgraded and you go to the O-ring calipers and stainless steel sleeves, you have a better chance of getting a bleed on them. I had problems for, many years trying to get them to bleed, so much so that we used to static bleed them, where we'd put them up on jack stands and just open the bleed valves and let them sit mm-hmm. for a day
gravity,
and,
yeah.
Go back. I find that with the O-ring calipers, though, it's easier to do it from the top, pressure bleed them down, and you get a very good pedal that way. But they've always been a challenge, and there's no way of knowing, unless it's your car and you've redone the calipers, whether they are the O-ring or the lip seal, like Jeff said earlier. The lip seal have always been an issue, and even just letting a car sit, over the winter, you can have a problem. You get in the car to get it going for the spring, and your pedal will go to the floor because they've drained down just because of those lip seals.
Wow.
I have a very good friend that allows me to work on her baby, her Nassau Blue 66. No, and one of
I
the
have
things
a 66
after.
Laguna Blue.
Yeah. It was Nassau Blue.
They might.
I have a Laguna Blue.
Did they have two colors?
Okay, yeah, no, there were. There was Nassau Blue. I know. I thought there was
Where's
Marina
Billy
Blue.
G
anyway,
them?
But
Laguna Blue was one of the least produced that year.
Ah, that's why. But
I thought it was Caspian Blue, but that's just me.
But I have her go out and stomp on the brake pedal about once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Just to force fluid out there so that the, when she goes to use it in the springtime, that I don't have to come over and tear the calipers apart, clean them up.
Exactly.
In
passing, in 66, there were three blues. It was Laguna Blue, Trophy Blue, and Nashua Blue.
Boy, Trophy's one you don't hear about. You know, speaking of calipers, there's something that drives me nuts, and I'd like to, and I actually took it up with the company. They didn't give me a good answer. I have Wilwood calipers on my car.
Yeah, I do too on the Nomad.
And what they did was they took the caliper, the threaded caliper bore, put an adapter in it with a bleeder valve that's the tiniest freaking valve. I think it's smaller than a 5/16 wrench, so none of my bleeder adapters will stay on the stupid thing.
Right.
And I asked Wilwood that. I said, why'd you do that? Why didn't you just, can I just put a regular bleeder in that hole? And the guy didn't know. So it's one of the things
drill
I have
it
to
and tap it.
Well, no, I mean the caliper is drilled. Actually, it's drilled and tapped on the top and the bottom because you can clock the caliper either way.
Well, yeah, no. So that way they only have one casting and they just assemble
right.
But
so there is a threaded hole, but they put an adapter in there that necks down the bleeder valve to a tiny little bleeder valve. And my question was, can I take the adapter out and just put in a regular bleeder valve? And you know what? You forget about it, right? I'm not under the car. I don't look behind the wheel.
That's it.
Now I remembered. So,
how often do you bleed the brakes on that?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. I don't bleed, but I flush my brakes like every year or 2 years on all my cars.
Yes,
and I do. So that's when you find out. But well, you know, the other thing I do service wise is even whatever I'm doing on a car, open the hood, I pop that master cylinder, and I suck the fluid out of the master, and I refill it with fresh, and I do that all the time. I go through a lot of brake fluid. You get it at Walmart. It's cheap. And,
yeah, go through a lot of turkey basters, too, at that point.
Well, no, because I'll tell you the trick. The trick is when you're done, take it apart and flush the turkey baster out with brake cleaner.
Well, you have to get the fluid out of the rubber ball or
no.
You're going to be in trouble.
Well, that's the thing. You don't let it get in the rubber ball because if it does, it'll
it hurts.
Eat it. You know, it eats it. It eats it up.
Yeah,
so,
you got to suck it three quarters up the tube.
Right, or usually or halfway or whatever. Right, so you have to watch it. And then you're right. That
Jeff, they don't listen to me. Jeff, only Jeff's listening to me. No one else is listening.
Because Jeff doesn't know you yet.
Now changing that fluid out all the time because it's hygroscopic and it attracts moisture and there's nothing worse than, you know, when the ABS light comes on and somebody tells you that you got to spend $1,500 on something that, you know, $50 worth of preventative maintenance would have avoided over the years.
Sure. Right.
Right. Yeah. Ray, do you use the litmus strips on the master cylinder?
I do. I have them. One of the guys from the company sent me a bunch of them, and they work. What that's good for is I use that for, like, at the shop to show people this is why your brake fluid should be changed. Like, don't listen to me. But let me show you graphically, and when the litmus paper changes, you know, people can see that and say, okay.
Yeah, it's a visual that they can relate to rather than just some mechanic telling them that's what they should do, which they don't believe anyway.
And the guys who are engineers and know science, I bring out my hydrometer. I'll actually put some in the hydrometer, I'm sorry, and have them look up to the light and say, here, now look at the scale. And, you know, that doesn't lie. But, yeah, it's just easy just, like, to turkey baste it out. I don't have the data to back it up. But I read it somewhere that from a source I trusted. I think when you suck the master cylinder dry, you're probably taking out 60-70% of the fluid in the system. You know, I mean, most of it after that's going to be behind the pucks of the calipers. The least amount's going to be in the lines.
Right, exactly.
But you will get most of it out, and that's like I said, when you do it regularly, you'll see the fluid does get dirty. It gets dirty fast.
So, now, just as an afterthought, is there an issue with bleeding the brakes where you run into calipers with more pistons per caliper, like one piston, two piston, three piston calipers and so forth? And the more pistons in the caliper, does it get more challenging to get a full bleed?
I haven't had a problem.
No. As long as everything's clocked correctly.
I mean, yeah, and I've done some of the later Audis, the R6s, the R8s, and they have 4 or 5 piston calipers.
We did
a Porsche. We had a Porsche
the big six piston on some of those.
Yeah.
I guess the bottom line there is as long as the system is sealed properly and you don't have any issues and leaks and so forth, you're going to get a good vacuum. You're going to get a good bleed, and that's the bottom line.
Right. And the thing is, when you do the pressure bleed at the wheel, the biggest problem is you'll get air coming through the bleeder valve, and those are the real small, tiny little bubbles you see.
Yeah,
so those you can almost discount because it's air coming in through the fitting. It's the big bubbles, and if you're using a hand pump, those are the big bloopy bubbles that I call that go into the reservoir.
Right.
That's
right.
Air. That's it.
Right. You don't want bloopy bubbles.
No.
I get it.
No.
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 Bloopy.
Right.
Little grease on that. Little grease on the
on the threads of the bleeder screw goes a long way in keeping the little bubbles out.
Exactly.
That's a smart idea. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Good seal. Good.
Right.
And,
right,
and it makes it easier to get them out when you forget about it 5 or 4 years down the road.
Yeah. All yeah. right, Skip. Thanks for the call.
Up.
No problem. Take
care. Talk to you soon. Bye.
See you, Skip.
All right. Yeah. You know, that's, well, yeah, I've been called the, what do you call it? The
bloopy bubble.
No. Yeah.
No, that's never, a culture name.
I'm called the Never Seize King because I use Never Seize on everything, even the back of the aluminum rims. I clean those off and use aluminum Never Seize on the mating surface of the aluminum wheels. Because I've had some wheels I just could not get off.
You know. Well, they salt the roads up there, so.
Yeah.
Dissimilar metals in that. It turns into a big battery, and that aluminum's more noble. It can be real bare. I stopped one time to help a lady who had a flat, and it was about 4 degrees below zero, and I was in the middle of Illinois, and they hadn't had that wheel off in a long time. And, yeah, the whole county learned some new words that day.
Wow.
We got it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
With your feet, I'm sure, kicking it back and forth. Sitting sitting on your butt in the snow, just kicking the heck out of that thing, I'm sure was probably the way, while those words were being dispensed.
Mm-hmm.
All those assorted Fs and Ks were coming out.
Well, I'll tell you what else is coming out. It's going to be us. Jeff, we're getting to the end of the show. Do you want to put out the contact information, social media stuff, so people can find you and get in touch with the
you
company?
You know, SKF.com, but you go to MightyVac.com and go right to our website. And then, for questions and anything, there's the you can call right into technical service. And that's 314-679-4200.
Okay.
And then, the email is, for questions and that. And then if you have a specific question for me, they can get it over to me. But Lincoln.tech. TECH.service@SKF.com.
Excellent. And Jeff, we want to thank you for coming on with us today. It was very informative. And as far as I'm concerned, we've scratched the surface. So now that you've been scratched, I'll be tapping you on the shoulder again in a while to have you come back.
I'd come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
As we all are.
You fit right in.
Right. All right. So with that, it's time to go because Kim is here going to do Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen and all. And we all love to hear that as well as our listeners do. We have great carryover to that. Jeff, thank you. We'll be in touch, and we will be. We'll do this again soon.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on. It's been a blast.
No problem. You're very welcome. All right, guys, we got to go, and we'll be back next week. More Motor Mouth Radio will ensue then. Chris, what do we always say to the people in the parking lot?
Don't follow us home and stay away from those bloopy bubbles.
Right. Okay, guys. Talk to you again. Jeff, thank you. So long.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
See you, bye.